for your biblical reading on this morning. We'll be coming from the book of James, chapter 13. Book of James, chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 13. not chapter 13, but chapter 5, verse 13. And we're going to look at part B of this verse. Part B, the B clause of this text. Amen. I'll read the entirety of it, but our focus will be on part B. Listen to James. He says, is any among you afflicted? He asked. And if there are, he listen to what he said. He says, let him pray. Then he asks, is any merry? Here's the answer. He says, let him sing psalms. We want to focus on that part B of that text. And here's what I want to speak from today is simply men and praise. Amen. You may be seated. Men and praise. Amen. To God who is our Father, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter Christ, our Savior, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, to our fine officers and mothers that are present on this morning, to our ushers, thank you so much for helping us to navigate through our services on this morning. To our music ministry, thank you for blessing us in song, and to all of our Father's children that are present this morning, I give you honor. Whether you be member, visitor, or friend, it is just good for us to be here on this day. Now today is not going to be your typical Father's Day sermon. But I wanted to challenge us today. And I said us. When I say us, I mean the men, not just men in particular, well, men in particular, but everybody. I want to challenge us all, but especially to men, because there is something about us as men when they come to praise. Amen. Amen. So don't leave today and saying, well, you know, the pastor was trying to do this and say that. No, we need to be challenged as men when it comes to praise. Let me say before I go on, let me say thank you to our New Jerusalem Church family for your support on everything that went on yesterday. Yesterday was a busy day for us. And especially thank you to those of you, especially to, I was glad to see our chairman and Brother Murphy, some of the other deacons, I think, was came back yesterday at 2:30. I know we was engaged into our Brother Key's birthday celebration. But thank you so much for coming back at 2:30. And your day was long as mine. Our ushers that were present, thank you all so much. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You didn't have to, but thank you so much that you came to support these families that were had suffered at the hands of death. And it's so good to see the support of your church family when you're going through those times. Amen. This is perhaps one of the most raging controversies in the church today that needs the most attention besides evangelism. some controversies are never dealt with in any forum, and they lose the biblical narrative that really should be sounded. And today I want to deal with that one thing, and it is the idea of men and praise. And I want to begin by saying that there is a disparity between women in worship and men in worship. Amen. You don't have to be in the church alone to notice that men and women act differently in worship. Can I get a witness? However, the act of praise, the act of giving God glory and honor for the things he has done, should not be regulated as a woman-only function. Man, now I'm talking to the brothers now. Now, if you agree with me, I would like you to say amen today, if you agree with me. But men can and could be fellow travelers in this area of praise as well. Our churches are filled all over this nation with women who love God, women who give him ultimate and unashamed worship and praise, women who lift up their hands and surrender themselves in the worship setting. A fact about it, in some of our churches, if the women acted like men, some churches would be turned into a quiet retirement center or a cold mausoleum rather than a place of praise. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about nobody. Why, Myron? Because what most men do is come up in here and we try to act so hard. We never try to show any emotions at all. But can I say to you women and to men as well, that guess what? God created us all to be some emotional beings. Yeah, because most of men of them, brother, that act like that, most men that try to act hard, some of them, now this is Myron Holmes, you know, you may disagree with me, but some of them I found unsure about their manhood and then want to act as if that Jesus died and left the church to them. We don't act like him. Jesus expressed his emotion. Even though he knew that the Father had given him charge, yet he never refused to show emotion, because my Bible tells me that at the death of Lazarus, Jesus wept. Yeah. So, brother, that's the wrong answer if we come and trying to be so hard. It is the direct will of God that we as a people will fulfill the purpose of which God made us. And he did not make us to sulk and sit. He did not make us to fold our arms and cross our legs. He did not make us to look bossy and intimidating. He did not make us to be over that which belonged to him, but to be a partaker of his glory. He did not make us to roll our eyes and grit our teeth, but the Lord created us to give him praise. Can I get a witness? Maybe someone doesn't understand that not only should we give God praise, but he is praiseworthy. I know he is, because guess what? He do praise because of his majesty and his glory. He do praise because of his excellency and his greatness. He's due praise because of his holiness and because of his wisdom. He's due praise because of his power and his goodness. He's due praise because of his mercy and his loving kindness. He's due praise because of his faithfulness and his truth. He's due praise because of his salvation and his wonderful works. He's due praise because of his consolation and his judgment. He's due praise because of his fulfilling of his promises. He's due praise because of his pardon of sin and his constant care of us. Right there, I hear my grandmama creeping up on me. And if she would hear, Big Mama would say something like this: he's due praise because he woke me up this morning. And Big Mama says, because he started me on my way. He put food on the table, and I know God is able. She would say something like that, but God is praiseworthy. However, the issue of praise is tantamount, because some men just
just ain't with it when it comes to praise. Because we've been fooled that men shouldn't praise God when they come to the church of God or the church house. You know, because some feel it's not manly to lift up holy hands. So some men feel like that it's not manly to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Some men feel like it's not manly to stand before the presence of the Lord. Some feel like it's not manly to kneel and bow and worship the Lord. But my Bible tells me, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. I've got problems with that. Why? Because as men, we are more expressive in other places than the church. Oh yeah, I'm right about it. And we use worship techniques everywhere except the church. And let me help you out. We'll lift up our hands at a football game. We'll talk trash during a wrestling match. You know, don't let Kane have John Cena up in a choke slam. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm talking. I get some wrestling fans in here. I'm one too. We'll stand up during the final round of a boxing match. You shadow boxing, you know, but can't get you to do nothing up in the church. We'll even have the audacity to kneel, bow, and roll over during an important game on television wearing little or nothing at all, with or without shorts, because guess what? We want to express ourselves. But let me let you know something, brethren, today, that there is nothing sissified or beneath God, the God-given role of a man giving him praise. Because if you can shoot it or shout it in a ball game, guess what? You can shabak the Lord. If you can lift your hands when the police don't stop there, quite surely you can lift them when you're in the presence of the Lord. If you can cry when you're watching Selma, you sure enough can cry when you hear the voice of God. The Apostle James gives us a glimpse and insight into this issue. Y'all just give me a few minutes. I promise you, we're going to be going home. I just want to examine 2 points. I know that is wrong, Reverend, when it comes to a sermon outline. That's not right. You know, you should at least do 3 to 4 points or what have you. But I just got 2 points from this text. Actually, they are 2 questions that every man should be addressed. And let me say, the reason why I point this message at men is because of the gender of the words in the text that says, is any. In the Greek, the words condense to tis, which is a male gender word for anyone. So watch this. So if we're going to unpack this text, I just have 2 questions for every man under the sound of my voice this morning. And here's the first question. Are you happy? James says, as he writes to the church in exile, are there any men in the congregation of the saints that are happy? That's a question you got to ask yourself, brother. The King James Version said, is any married? The word translated to Mary in 1611 is euthymeo, which means a verb in the indicative present active syntax. I told you I was never smart in English, but what that really means is that are you happy and are you happy right now? You English teachers, you folks are smart in English, you know, do y'all agree with me there? Amen. Thank you. And watch this. It means then to be of a good mind, a good attitude. It means to be of good cheer, of a cheerful mind. It even has some cousins with the definition that means to rejoice, to be glad, to be peaceful, to be of good courage, to be cheery. So watch this. My question then to each man in this room is, are you happy? Before you answer that, you need to understand that biblical happiness is different from the standard in the world. The world says, watch this, getting high is happiness. The world says getting drunk is happiness. The world says denying your wife alimony is happy. The world says opposing your husband's visiting rights is happy. The world says being in control for some is happy. The world says inflicting pain on others is happiness. And the world says causing conflict is happiness. Well, let me hurry and suggest that happiness is more about what you are not than what you are. If you don't believe me, guess what? You're happy if you're not filled with sorrow. You're happy if you're not spiritless. You're happy if you're not dismayed. You're happy if you're not heavy laden. You're happy if you're not vexed. You're happy if you're not troubled. You're happy if you're not pressed. You're happy if you're not constrained. You're happy if you're not suffering pain. You're happy if you're not exhausted. And you're happy if you're not oppressed. And I ain't none of them. Therefore, I'm happy. Yeah, the word happy, watch this, is used 25 times, brethren, in the King James Version. And I have noticed that each time, happiness is used about people. I know you don't believe it. Let me break you off a little something. We're going to keep on moving. Watch this. Genesis 3 and 13 says, and Leah said, happy am I. Deuteronomy 33 and 29 says, happy art thou, Israel. 1 Kings 10 and 8 says, happy are thy men. Job 5 and 17 says, behold, happy is the man who God corrected it. Psalm 127 and 5 says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Psalm 128 and 2 says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Psalm 137, 8, 9 says, happy shall he be. Psalm 144, 15, happy is that people. Psalm 146 and 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Proverbs 3 and 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3 and 18 says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Proverbs 14 and 21, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 16 and 20 says, whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 28 and 14, happy is the man that feareth always. Proverbs 29 and 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Acts 26 and 2 says, I think myself happy. Romans 14 and 22 says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. James 5 and 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. 1 Peter 3 and 14 says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And then he says, 1 Peter 4 and 14, he said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, he says, happy are ye. That pertains to somebody. Happiness is not so much pertaining here to some things, but it's pertaining to people. Woo, y'all miss all of that. Well, I need to suggest to us that not only can people get happy, but one thing I found out is that mountains can't get happy. Cars can't get happy. Only time a car get happy is the folks that's driving them. Them Jordans we put on people's feet, they can't get happy. Only somebody happy there is the Nike company and Michael because we keep buying them. Streets don't get happy. Birds can't get happy. Stars can't get happy. And the sun can't get happy. They just operate instinctively. They just happy anyway because they don't have to think themselves happy. But when a man has God in his life and he's operating in the will of the Lord and all that he has belong to the Lord, my Bible tells me that happy is that man. Brother, are you happy? Amen. Are you happy? The question is, are you happy? Then secondly, and then we're going to go home and I'm going to get out of your way, is that now the text asks us, are you praising him? Not only are you merry, is any merry, but he says, let him sing songs. Are you praising him? The progression and movement of this text is very clear. If you are happy, or you're a happy man, praise is not a suggestion. Mm-mm. It is not something that you do because you have some extra time on your hands. But praise, watch this,
is mandatory for men that are happy. I wish I had a witness there. I'm going to say that again. Praise is mandatory for men that are happy. So now if you don't praise God, then chances are you might not be happy. You just might not be merry. Praise is not an option, my brother, but it's necessary. And for most men, we've been cultured to think that praise is feminine. We've been cultured to think that shouting is not masculine. We've been cultured to think that dancing before the Lord is sissy-ish. I know that's not a word, but that's in my dictionary. That's why we keep on raising a generation of people, especially young men, that feel as if praise is wrong, that praise is improper, praise is inappropriate, or praise is an insult. But let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Look at this text. King James says, let him sing. Now watch this. It would appear that it is a suggestion. But in the Greek language, the word there is solo. It is, watch this, a verb in the imperative present active third person singular. I say it a lot, didn't it? But for you English folks, you smart people in English, what you just said, Myron Holmes? All I just said was just James said that you should praise the Lord and you should praise him right now. Maybe the reason that some men don't praise him is that they don't understand that this is not a suggestion. You ought to praise him right now. Look, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, brother, that's a precondition for you and I to praise him. Not because he blessed me with a house, a ride, a job, and a fine wife, but to think of his goodness towards me is reason enough for me to shout out a praise to God. 18 times in scripture, we are told to praise him. I'm going to share some of those with you. Y'all, this is exciting to me. 18 times. I just want to share a few of them with you. In scripture, we are told to praise him. Psalm 22 and 23 said, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Psalm 28 and 7, with my song, I will praise him. Psalm 42 and 5 said, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42 and 11 said, I shall praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Yeah. Then Psalm 43 and 5 come back with the same scripture. I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 6 and 9 and 34 said, let the heaven and the earth praise him. Psalm 107 and 32 said, praise him in the assembly of the elders. Psalm 109 and 30 said, I will praise him among the multitude. Psalm 117 and 1 said, praise him, all ye people. Psalm 135 and 1 said, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Psalm 148 and 1 said, praise him in the heights. And Psalm 148 and 3 and 4 said, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. And nevertheless, here go my favorite, Psalm 150, the first five verses admonishes us to praise him. Can I tell you what it says? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and with dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise up upon the high sounding cymbal. But this is where sure enough get happy. He said, let everything that hath breath. He said, praise ye the Lord. But my brothers and sisters, let me suggest that men are creatures that enjoy working with their hands. Watch this. See, a man can build great things with their hands. Men will build skyscrapers with their hands. Men will build highways and bridges with their hands. Men build houses with their hands. Men will even build gargantuous machines with their hands. But James says that if a man is happy, the King James Version says, let him sing songs. In the original language, it reads like this. Let him sing songs is rendered simply with one word, solo. Solo means then to play a string instrument. It means to sing a hymn. So to praise God, you can't be cool. To praise God, you can't sit with your arm all folded. To praise God, you can't be acting cute. Yeah, you can't be all dignified. See, musicians who play upon an instrument were said to pluck the strings. Yeah, in other words, they solon cordas, or simply just pluck. The word came to signify the making of music in any fashion. I just read it in Psalm 150. I mean, I be tripping out on folk that don't like music. You know, oh, they too loud, they this and that. But baby, the Bible says, praise him with the instruments. Yeah. Because string instrument was commonly used both by believers and heathen and singing praises to their respective God. It meant to sing praises or psalms to God. But check this out. Watch this. With or without instruments. Now if I, do I have any old school believers in here? I remember a long time ago when I was a little boy. I did 177 County Road, Priscilla, Mississippi. Yeah, I remember those days. And boy, when we got to the church, you could just hear. Yeah. That's all you heard. We didn't have no instruments, no nothing. But mama and them showing up, praise God. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, this is good news for us today. I hope you're happy. And are you going to praise him? If you can't play the drums, all I'm saying, you still can give God praise. If you can't play the organ or the piano, if you can't play the keyboard, if you can't blow a horn, if you can't play the bass guitar, if you can't play the stringed instruments, yeah, look, baby, one thing I come to tell you is that you still can give God some praise. Anybody gonna give us some praise? If you can't hold a note, you still can give God some praise. And I'm so glad that the Lord understands my praise. Not your praise, but my praise. He understands that I'm limited in my musical ability. He understands that I lack the understanding of musical intonation. He understands that I lack the chords and the movements. He knows that I'm limited by my lack of understanding of the bass and the treble clef. But one thing that I can do is give him a high praise, regardless of how I sound. But I'm not limited in knowing and understanding how good God really is. I understand that praise begins when I understand who God is. Praise begin when I understand that praise is to honor God. And I want to laud him and I want to just lift him up. Praise begin when I understand that it's not about me and it's not about us, but it's all about Jesus. And I can praise him because I understand this, is that he woke me up this morning. I can praise him because I understand he kept me in my right mind. I can praise him because I understand he blessed me with health and with strength. I can praise him because I understand he gives me power when I'm weak. I can praise him today because I understand he kept all my enemies away. I can praise him because it's him that rocked me, even in the midnight hour. I can praise him because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can praise him because he's the shoes on my feet. I can praise him because he keeps a roof over my head. Anybody besides me gonna praise him? I can praise him because he's done something for me that no one else could have done for me. He saved me one Friday evening. He saved my soul and he made me whole. He died one Friday at Calvary. Jesus died for all of my sin. He was buried in a borrowed grave. But early Sunday morning, I can praise him because he got up for your macho acting self. He got up for your cooler than breeze self. He got up for your fresh and so clean, clean self. He got up for your tough old acting self. He got up for your in charge self. He got up for your big chested and big headed self. He got up for your important and good looking self. He got up the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth. He got up with it in his hand. And because he got up, I must, I will, no doubt about it, I'm going to give him a crazy praise. I'm going to give him the highest praise. I'm going to give him a act of fool kind of praise. I'm going to give him a kind of praise that I don't give a yahoo what you say about me, because he's worthy. I said he's worthy. Any man to know he's worthy. He's worthy. I say he's worthy of all honor and praise. You ought to praise him. Give him your best thank you, Jesus. Give him your best hallelujah. Give him your best glory to God. You ought to rap back from your belly and say, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. It's all right, brother.